has called upon its readers to relate to the trust that sheep have for their shepherd. And this relationship might have been more readily understood in a mostly agriculture economy 2,000 years ago, especially to those in Eastern culture, than maybe one would be able to relate to today. But yet, oft times, we are asked in the Scriptures to somehow try to relate to a sheep and the relationship that it has to its shepherd. And likewise, the shepherd, the relationship that it develops and the emotional connection that it has with the sheep. So we might be well served to take a step back and try to understand that relationship. How does a shepherd relate to his sheep? And how does the sheep relate to his shepherd? You know, the shepherd, as I can read, and mostly what I know I have to read to understand, because I don't understand that concept. That wasn't something that I was taught. I've been around sheep very little in my life. But again, for those that would have been reading this, and especially in the first century, those Christians understood so much more the relationship of a shepherd to the sheep than we would. So mostly what I know I've had to read, and I've learned a lot from just gleaning from the Scriptures. But I do know that a shepherd was responsible for every need that sheep would have. That shepherd was responsible to make sure that sheep had food, that it had water, that it had shelter, that it had protection. It was the shepherd was responsible for the protection of those sheep. Some things I've even read that even in those, even inside the walls of the city, even in a residential neighborhood, that it was a common thing for every family to own a ewe lamb or a sheep, or maybe two or three. And then in those summer months, those people that owned these sheep, that kept them close because they used them for almost everything. They took the wool to make clothing and blankets and different things. There was just so many needs that someone living in that economy would have need of a sheep. You know, and not so long, not in such previous days, there were people that lived in town. And even if you lived in town, everybody had a milk cow, because refrigeration wasn't what it is today. So the family needed milk, and the children needed milk. So it was not an uncommon thing for someone living in town, in the city, in a block, to have a cow that they kept to milk. Same way, these people had sheep because of the necessity of what a sheep could provide for that family. And oft times in these summer months, these city dwellers that had sheep would allow a shepherd to take control of their property that they needed, that was valuable for their family, and they would let it out to a shepherd. That shepherd would take that sheep out into the mountains and into the places of pasture throughout the summer. That shepherd was responsible for that man's property to deliver it back safely to its rightful owner at the time appointed. Amen. And so that shepherd had to have a connection, even though he wasn't necessarily the owner. It wasn't his property, but he was responsible for that property that belonged to another man. And so he had to develop a relationship. That sheep had to know his voice. That sheep had to be able to respond to the commands. It had to know that who it belonged to. I've not ever seen this, but I've heard about it heard people that have, and I've read mostly about these, where especially at night, as it relates to St. John chapter 10, when these shepherds would bring their sheep to a certain place of watering or shelter, there may be dozens of shepherds and a multitude of flocks that would all mingle together throughout the night or at times of watering. But when that shepherd was ready to go, it spoke to its sheep. Amen. And because those sheep knew his voice wherever they were, they just started coming out from the rest of them. Amen. It's time to go, sheep. It's time to move along. And he called his, amen. And they all begin to follow him wherever they were. Praise God. Oh, aren't you glad today that we have a faithful high priest? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Probably one of the greatest qualities or character or characteristics of a shepherd that a shepherd would possess was his ability to lead. A shepherd always has to lead. April and I have a quote that hangs in our home in a frame, and it reads something like this: "The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you." Amen. Is it all right if I share that with you again? The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 2, I want to try to take your mind a certain direction here this morning. The wise men in chapter 2 of Matthew that you could read about were following a star. There seems to be this quality that Christ has, even at his birth, that people seem to be drawn to him and willing to follow him. Even though these people had no mind, no understanding, they did not even know, I don't think, Brother Carlton, they even had it in their mind for sure exactly what they were going to find. I don't really think they were expecting a babe in a manger. I don't think that's what they had in their mind. They were looking for a king, amen. But those constellations, that was so good, brother. Amen. Those wise men from the far east were following a sign. Come on. Amen. I know what Brother Carlton was talking about. That's not the only sign. That's not the only thing we had to look for, but that's just another part. There are many things. There's wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and pestilence and all of those things, numbers and numbers of things that we can look and read in our newspapers and hear on the news of things that are happening that lets us know that the time is drawing near. Praise God. And that was just one of them. It worked for them. And because of their understanding, let me just stop right here for a moment. Wherever you are and however you can relate, whatever business or office you might be fulfilling, amen, God always has a way of relating to everybody in their situation to try to show them about his second coming. Can you say amen? Oh yes, for those that study the stars and those that were intrigued by that, amen, God used that as a sign to bring those men to where Jesus were. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Then in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, after, if you would read Matthew chapter 3, you will see the ministry of John the Baptist. You will see Jesus come to the River Jordan to be baptized. And when John raises him up out of the water, that dove appears, and they hear that voice from heaven saying, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. In chapter 4 and verse 1, amen, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Realize that Jesus is also being led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That was what he was trying to get Jesus to do throughout this whole ordeal of temptation, was trying to get some worship for himself from the Son of God. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. Let me digress just for a moment as it relates to temptation. The apostle John said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Amen. All these, that's what John said concerning temptation. These three things. Amen. Hear me, young people, if you don't hear anything else I say today, as it relates to temptation, that is all that the devil has to tempt you with. Amen. Somebody said, oh, I thought it was rock and roll. I thought it was rebellion. I thought it was witchcraft. I thought it was markings and tattoos. And amen. No. Amen. As it relates to temptation, the only thing the devil has in his arsenal to tempt you with are these three things. And everything that he tempts you with, if you will run its origin, it will come back to the lust of the eye, or the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Amen. Oh yes, I'm telling you the truth. That's what Satan done to Jesus. Amen. After 40 days, he was hungry. And the devil said, turn these stones into bread. That was an appeal to his flesh. Amen. Oh yes. And then he takes him to an exceeding high mountain. Amen. And tells him to cast himself down. It shows him all. Y'all remember that? All the kingdoms of this world. That's the lust of the eye. Amen. And then he tries to get him to fall to pride there at the end. Amen. But Jesus successfully endured all of these temptations. Come on now. These are the same three things that Satan used against Eve in the garden. Amen. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's always what it is. Amen. But Jesus successfully endured the temptation and come through victorious. Can somebody say hallelujah? Thank God. Amen. And because he overcame the world, and because he overcame hell and death and the grave and Satan and everything that he has, that lets me and you know that we also are able to overcome. Amen. I got to move on here in Matthew chapter 4. That was Matthew chapter 3. The first part of chapter 4 is the temptation. Amen. Then after the temptation, they immediately left the ship and their father. Jesus goes walking up and down the shores. Almost immediately he begins collecting his disciples. Amen. Are y'all still going along with me here? We're going somewhere. Amen. Jesus as the shepherd. Jesus as the master teacher. Jesus as the one that will be their discipline. Amen. And they immediately left their ship. He finds Peter and Andrew with their father, and they followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. Somebody ought to say praise God again. Amen. Listen to verse 25. And there followed him. Somebody say followed. Amen. There followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, or those 10 cities around the Sea of Galilee, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Amen. I tell you what I'd like to have done. This is just me when I'm thinking and reading and studying these things. I would have liked to went up to one of those people. I think it would have been most interesting to have interviewed some in that multitude and ask them, how far do you plan on going with this man? How long are you planning on staying with him? How far are you going to follow him? Are you going to follow him to the edge? Are you going to follow him to the jumping off place and then jump off with him? Just how far do you plan on going with him? Well, I feel the Holy Ghost prompting me right now. I feel like asking some of you, amen, you've been saved. Maybe you've had that experience of sanctification. Maybe you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. But how far are you planning on going with him? Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you satisfied to stay where you are? Are you satisfied with what you've accomplished so far? Or are you willing to say, I'll follow him wherever he goes, I'm going? Amen. The Revelation spoke about those that followed the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. Amen. You'll find out from reading in Mark chapter 9. James and John go with Jesus as a select group to an exceeding high mountain. That mount we call Transfiguration. And he's transfigured before them. And they get lifted up in pride. And they want to go to work and build 3 tabernacles and start 3 religions. And no telling what all was going to come from that. Amen. They still didn't understand who it was and what he was trying to accomplish in their life. But by the time you get to St. John chapter 6, you'll find out there's a lot of motivations and a lot of different motivations for people that claim to be followers of Christ. And what we need to do is ask ourselves, how far are we going? And what are we willing to do? And how much are we willing to accomplish to follow him all the way? Hallelujah. Amen. By the time you get to chapter 6, you find the great multitudes are following Jesus. He has that about him. The wise men come to follow him. His disciples seem like they scarcely know him, and he walks by. They leave. There's something about it, Brother Junior, such of attraction. They walk away from their business. They walk away from their occupation. They walk away from their livelihood. What is it about this man that they're willing to leave their aged father, a man with the business and the ship and the nets and the work and the labor, and just take off following this man? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Then you read on over in St. John chapter 6 that the multitudes are following him, and he takes them to a place. Amen. Are y'all remembering the story? There's a great multitude multitude. We find out later there's 5,000 men beside the women and children, and there's no McDonald's, and there's no Chick-fil-A, man, and there's no Safeway, there's no Whole Foods, there is nothing, and no provision, nothing to feed them. Well, I'd like to help somebody here this morning, but his hand will never lead. Hear me right now. His hand will never lead where he cannot feed. He'll never put you in a place where his grace is not sufficient. And as it relates to temptation, he'll never put you in a circumstance. He'll never put you in a place where his grace cannot keep you in the hour of temptation. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Amen. But Jesus, being the good shepherd that he is, he loves him so much. He says to one of his disciples, what are we going to do? He wasn't asking as though he didn't know what he was going to do. I think it's John chapter 8, Jesus knowing what he was going to do. But he wanted to try them and see. You know, it might be when Jesus, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here this morning. It might be when he's talking to you and challenging you. He already knows what he's going to do. He already knows what he's going to do about your situation. But he wants to know what you're thinking about your situation. He wants to see what you're going to do about it. He already knows what he's going to do and what he's willing to do. But what are you going to do? I'm asking you again, how far? How far are you going with him? How far are you going to follow him? This multitude, great multitude, follows him. They're hungry. They're needing something to eat. They've been with him a while. They're faint. He asked the disciples, what are we going to do about this? I said, well, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. And if we had all this money, 300 penny worth, we still wouldn't. In other words, we don't have it. But even if we did have it, there's still no place to get it. There's no supply. Amen. But then Andrew finds a lad. Boy, I love these stories, don't you? Don't you? They never get old. His mom packed him a lunch, I guess, before he left. Child, you might get hungry. And somebody, one of these disciples, finds it. They bring the lad, this lunch, to Jesus. And they say, all we got here, we looked this place over, and all we found, among 5,000 people, 5 loaves, 2 small fishes. Huh? And we might could find more than that right here in this congregation today. Some of you grandparents probably have gummies in your purse. And believe me, the kids know who have them. I don't know how they find it out, but they figure it out. When I was a kid, I knew who had them. I mean, who had treats. 5,000. Jesus says, feed them. He takes that 5 loaves. It's so specific, Brother Ethan. 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. These are not whales. These are not big. These are not the kind that swallowed Jonah. These are 2 small fishes. What is that among so many? Again, God's hand will never lead you where he can't take care of you. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus breaks that, blesses that, breaks it, tells his disciples to distribute. They begin to distribute. And it was enough to feed the multitude. Somebody say, praise God. Man, I could spend a lot of time there, but that's not where my message is today. Amen. This great multitude, that's what I want to take a moment, impact on your mind, has followed him. I'm asking you again, how far are you going to follow him? They followed him. They stayed all day with him, Pastor. They ate his groceries. But before chapter 6 is finished in your King James Bible, he takes that miracle of the bread and tries to show them a spiritual truth. This bread that you just ate that I multiplied with this lad's lunch, I am the bread of life. Wow. Eat this, man. You have eternal life. I am the water of life. But then he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. That's also in chapter 6. It's a long chapter down to verse number 66. From that time. Somebody say, from that time. Many of his disciples went back. Oh God. Oh, somebody ought to be crying right now. This is heartbreaking. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12 in a question, will ye also go away? I know we hurry on to verse number 68, but I need to stop again and ask you that question again. How far are you going to follow him? And at what point will his statement be too radical in your life that you will say it is a hard saying? And I cannot do that. You don't expect me to do that. You're surely not going to require me to do that. I can't do it. I'm not going. How far are you going to go before you say that? Amen. Thank God Peter did rise up. Amen. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I wish the Holy Ghost would help me to preach and I could get anointed for a few minutes here. Amen. To preach that inside of you, that you would have that same heart and that same cry that Peter had. Oh Lord, don't even mention it. Don't even talk about it. To whom shall we go? Amen. Praise God, saints. Jesus has the words of eternal life. And if you're going to get to heaven, you got to go through him. If you're going to hear him say, well done, you got to go through him. How far are you going to follow? How far are you willing to follow? How many of his statements are you willing to accept as truth and get them into your life where they can produce? We find in Matthew 26, Jesus goes to the garden after supper to pray. After a couple of hours of prayer for Christ and a 2-hour nap for the disciples. Did y'all hear what I said? I know I've skipped over a lot, but I was trying to show you these multitudes that followed him. There's 12 now that's followed him to the upper room. A great part of the book of St. John is that final week, that passion week of the life of Christ. So many things happened in St. John that was recorded, and so many things happened in that final week. They found this place prepared. That was miraculous. They made ready for the disciples. They went there. They had that last supper. And then they resorted to that place. I want to ask you something. What will happen to most of y'all this afternoon? It's a hot, muggy summer day. When you go, I mean, I already know, Brother Greg, some of it. I've seen several big, long slabs of ribs laid out before I left this morning. The substance of things hoped for. I'm thinking about it right now. My family, some of them's going to be gathered. And while the sisters are in there washing the dishes, it's happened to me so many times. I'll go sit down on the couch to visit with my sons. Next thing you know, I'll be asleep. They had just been with Jesus. They had just enjoyed a great meal. There were so many things that were happening so fast in their life now. I mean, that whole week, Brother Jeff, it just... sign after sign after sign after sign. They didn't understand it. Their minds were clouded. Now he's talking about he's going to die and somebody's going to betray him and all these things they didn't understand. They get through. They've had this great meal. They've been with Jesus. It's been an intimate, close relationship. And now they go to this garden
that they go there. They've been there numbers of times, brother. Galen, numbers. They knew. Even the traitor knew. Judas knew where to find them, because they oft resorted to that garden to pray. So Jesus, they're still following him. Y'all with me in my message? They're following him. They follow him to the garden. He leaves 8 or 9 of them. Takes 2 or 3 more a little further away. And then he goes a little bit further away from them and prays. And he comes back and they're asleep. Nature's taken its course. Full stomach. All day we got up early. It's been going a long time now. We're asleep. Help me, Holy Ghost. He comes back to them, finds them again. Ask them if they cannot watch 1 hour. Comes back another hour. They're asleep. 2 hour prayer for Jesus. 2 hour nap for the disciples. I'm asking you again, how far are you going with him? I hope this is resonating with somebody. How far? How far are you going? How far are you going to follow him? When's going to be the end when you're going to fall off the wagon? So I can't do it anymore. And then it really starts happening fast. In verse 57, I can't preach all this, but I've got to get these scriptures. And they that laid hold on Jesus, they're, and when Jesus wakes them up this last time, I mean, it's starting to happen right then. They wake up just in time to see this great band coming from the high priest, and they're going to arrest Jesus. They wake up to that fact. And they led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Here's this famous scripture right here, verse 58. I hope y'all can see it. I can't see what's going on in the back. But Peter followed him afar. Somebody say afar off. Say that again, afar off. Now ask yourself right now, as it relates to positioning, Brother James, what is your position in relationship to your shepherd? Are you close and still following? Or are you far away? Amen. When you're so far away, you're trying to make sure that nobody identifies. Man, I could preach. Oh my goodness, I could preach right here. When you follow afar off, you make sure that nobody identifies you and connects you with him. That's the reason you wear what you wear. That's the reason you listen to what you listen to. That's the reason you hobnob with who you hobnob with. You still want to be a Christian. You want to go to heaven. But you don't want anybody else to know that you're a follower. I mean, you might admit to be, maybe you're a Christian, you're saved, but you don't want the outward expression that I am a follower of him. So I wear this and I dress this way and I go there and I do that. And I go to church on Sunday morning and I try to get a glimpse of him and I see. Have you ever tried following somebody when you didn't want them to know that you was following them? You was trying to watch them and see. And you gotta stay in the background and you gotta look and see where they make that. And I believe they turned right there. But when you get to that turn, it looks different now than it did back then. And you're really not quite sure if that's where they made the turn. I'm telling you, it's altogether different than when you're sticking with him like a hand in the glove and you know what his move is and you can almost anticipate the next move. Amen. When you follow him in that relationship as a sheep in relation to a shepherd, you will know his voice. Amen. I wish I could help somebody here this morning. You'll know his pattern. Amen. Those that followed him, even the traitor in the bunch, had followed him enough.
enough that he knew where he would be? Do you know Jesus enough? Are you well acquainted with him enough? Do you know the shepherd well enough that you can anticipate his voice? You almost know what's going to happen next in the service. You almost realize what the next move is going to be. Amen. Come on, church. I'm telling you the truth. God has helped me a few times to get anointed with the preacher till I already had my Bible open and I was waiting on him to turn to the next scripture. I've done it. It's happened. Amen. Not every time, but sometimes it does. You can get to know him. You can get in relationship with him until you understand his voice. And you'll never be deceived by a stranger. Put that song up. I don't want any music, but I want your participation. But I don't want you to say it if you don't mean it. I can hear my Savior calling. Come on, work with me, church. I can hear my Savior call. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Come on, let's sing it and really mean it. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads, oh, that sounds so good. I will follow. Come on. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. Do you really mean it? With him. All the way. Give me that next verse. Him through. Y'all, if I could, I'd just stay here. Y'all keep on singing. I love this presence. I'll go with him. With him. With him. The more you sing it, the more my heart's beating that way. Give me that next verse. I'll go with him to the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. Through the garden, hallelujah. I'll go with him. With him. All the way. Are you going? Are you going? How far? How far are you going to go with him? With him. To dark Calvary. I'll go with him to dark. I'll go with him to dark Calvary. I'll go with him. With him. Oh. Listen to this. I'll go with him to the judgment. Hey folks, this is where they all forsook him and fled right here. Come on, let me stop and preach to you right here just for a moment. This is where they all left him right here. Only Peter, at least Peter was following him afar off. He's doing more than a lot of them was. Are you going to go with him there? John went with him. Thank God for John. Thank God for that other disciple. He has so released himself and crucified pride in his life that even in his own gospel, Brother Joel, he won't even call his own name. He either says the other disciple or the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'll go with him to the judgment. I'll go with him, all the way. Now we ought to be able to worship right here. He will give me grace and glory. Hallelujah. That's all right. If you want to stand and worship, go ahead. He will give you grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. I'll go with him all the way. Give me that chorus again. Where he leads me, I will follow. Oh, I love the Holy Ghost. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him. Ernest W. Blandy, a Salvation Army officer, wrote the invitation hymn after choosing between a comfortable post at an established church and an alternative assignment to the New York City waterfront slum called Hell's Kitchen. He chose the latter, where he leads me. He chose the latter. He will give you grace and glory. I want that big church. I want that well, comfortable congregation where people have jobs and make money and can support and do. I could have that or I could have Hell's Kitchen. Thank God for the good church. Thank God for people that love God and are faithful to give their tithe and support the ministry. But I tell you who we need to congratulate. Those that will be preaching to the women in the jails on Thursday. Those that will be preaching to the men on Tuesday. Those that will be... come. Those that will be reading scriptures to the old folks at the nursing home. Taking your little children and walking around from wheelchair to wheelchair and reading the Bible to them. I'll go with him. I'll go with him. I'll go with him. I'll go to court, Sister Teresa, and fight for those abused children as long as there's a breath in my body. I'll get up and go to that Christian school when everything ain't going smooth and slick and easy. Believe me, I know about it because I've done it for years. There's days, Brother James, sometimes several times in one day I went to my office to pray through. More than one time in one day to pray myself through so I could come back and love that staff member and love that child. When I had the power and the authority to give them the boot, put them out. Oh God, help us. I got to hurry. Y'all are standing. I'm not quite done, but I almost am. What of it, sir? What of it, ma'am? What of it, brother, sister? How far? How far do you plan to go? Psalm 23. I'm going to read this quickly. Psalm 23. Put it up. If you want to read it with me, I'd be happy for you to read it with me. Can y'all see it? Is it there? Psalm 23:1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. Amen. Hallelujah. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody say, I will. Somebody say, I'll do it. Amen. If you'll follow Him, I tell you, if you'll follow Him, you'll always have something following you, and it will be grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Thank God for goodness and mercy. As long as you follow Him, there's going to be some things that will be in your reward. And praise God, you'll be glad that you follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Adrian, Courtney, go ahead and come. Get ready to make the altar call song here. I'm almost done. Almost done. I'm going to ask you again, how far are you going? I've used this illustration so many times over the years since I heard Brother Wayne Ray give it so many years ago. But any time you preach about the shepherd, it's just so fitting. This would have been sometime probably the early 80s. Brother Ray made a number of trips to the Holy Land. He would have been a great, especially in his prime, a great Bible scholar to go along with, to explain things and places. And I know, and Brother Gale and Sister Joy remember this, the only time we went in 96, they were with us. Sister Becky was with us on that trip, maybe some others. But Brother Jeff, we were driving out on those rolling hills and those pastures. Here's these people, they're still carrying their water in goat skin bags. I mean, they would look like what you would talk about straight out of the Bible, nomadic people. And they said, they stopped the bus. They told us that we could watch them. They said they're nomadic people. They feed their flocks in the land of Palestine just like their ancestors did 2,000 years ago. They still live in tents. They wear the garb. I mean, they look like something that would walk right out of Abraham's day. They're very loyal Jewish subjects. Amen. And so they talked about how they led their sheep. I remember our guide telling us all about it. Same thing I'm telling you is what Brother Ray described. This guide was telling them on their bus tour how these shepherds always lead their sheep. This is the way they do it and done it for many years. All of a sudden, he said there was a flock of sheep run across the highway right in front of their bus. I mean, while this lecture is going on about Bedouin shepherds, he said to the point, Brother Ray said, that it upset the guide so much that he stopped the bus driver, commanded him to stop the bus, and said, I'm going to get off and talk to him. And he did in his language. He got off and began to talk to him. He said, my tour, I just got through telling them how you all lead the sheep, how the Bedouin shepherds are just like the shepherds of 2,000 years ago. And here you are, you're not leading your sheep, you're driving your sheep. This is how you tell the difference. What a real shepherd is. A real shepherd leads. Your sheep are scattered. They're afraid. They're frightened. And I just got through telling them how you loved the sheep, how you took care of them, protected them. And now here, look at your sheep. He said, the man stopped him and said, No. What you told your guest is true. The Bedouin shepherds lead their sheep just like our forefathers did 2,000 years ago. He said, I am not the shepherd. I am the butcher. These sheep are going to slaughter. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With him. All the way. Revelation 7:9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts.
fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped Him, saying, Amen. Y'all can join in if you want to. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be under our God forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation. Hallelujah. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I ask you again, how far you plan on following Him? You plan on following Him through tribulation? You plan on following Him no matter what happens? Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Are y'all still here? Shall feed them. Woo! And shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Verse 17 lets us know His hand will never lead where He cannot feed. Amen. Play softly. I'm sure Brother Hugh could tell this better. I called him this morning to make sure I had it right. This is the way I remember it. When they were in Colorado. After the fires had devastated that area above Steamboat, northern Colorado, southern Wyoming. There's a lot of sheep business yet goes on in that part of the world. Many of those, as he told me, many of those shepherds that are hired out, these large ranch owners, they contract. They lease land from the government, those rolling hills and meadows. And they also hire Peruvian shepherds to come from Peru. A lot of them are Peruvian, so he says, to shepherd their sheep. Somewhat similar to what I just told you about a while ago. Even though they own them, they own thousands of them, they let them out to shepherds. They're in the mountains, the high country, these Peruvian shepherds. Their boss man, as Brother Hugh tells me, comes and moves them around, moves their trailers around. But they never leave the sheep 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Holidays, it matters not. They stay. They live with their sheep in little tents. And when it's time to move, the boss man comes in, hooks up the trailer, moves them. But they stay with the sheep and move the sheep. When fire moved in there and began to devastate that area, the boss man come to the shepherd of whom I'm telling you about now and said, Get out, everybody. It's mandatory evacuation. You got to get out, get out. Forget about the sheep, leave them, get out. But this man that Brother Hugh talked to, Peruvian shepherd, said, I will not leave my sheep. He refused to leave his sheep. Praise God. Even though the boss says, even though the government's saying. And when he told Brother Hugh the story, he said, I got out with all 1,013 of them. He knew to the exact number how many sheep he had. He said, I got myself out, I got a litter of puppies out, and all 1,013 sheep. And because of his faithfulness, he was made a chief shepherd over some other shepherds that acted more like hirelings, that ran and left their sheep alone to make it for themselves and be destroyed. Praise God. And we have a shepherd that's never going to leave us. He said, Lo, I am with you always. Somebody say always. The old timers used to say, that's far enough. That's far enough. I've heard them say it over and over and over. Jesus said He'd go with me all the way. That's far enough. That's far enough. I'm going to hold the altar call just for a few minutes because I want y'all to hear the words of this song. I hope y'all put it up. Are they up? You can worship if you'd like when they get through. They'll probably sing it multiple times, but I want you to hear these words before you break and come to the altar. Come on, sing it. Think about how much you love your shepherd.
Think about how much you love him. Oh, blessed thought, oh, words with heaven.
He's never going to leave you.
Comfort fraud.
He's never going to forsake you.
I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth
me. Well, I hope you leave this service loving him more than you ever have.
Me by his own
strong arm. Come on, church, just love him a little while this morning.
His faithful follower I would be.
There ought to be some worship going on right now. Have you found him that way? Has he been that way to you?
Sometimes men sing.
He leads.
Of deepest gloom.
He leads.
Sometimes weary.
He leads.
Bowers blue. By
water still.
Or trouble
still
is his hand that
he leadeth me.
He leadeth me. He leadeth
Woo,
me.
Hallelujah.
By his
he leads
own
me.
Hand.
Goodness and mercy follow me. Faithful follower. That's all we got to do is follow him.
Place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur,
nor repine.
Content
whatever lot.
Since 'tis God's hand,
grace
that leadeth
he leadeth me. Let's worship him in the house.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He leads me. He leads me. By his strong hand, he leads me. Whoa.
His faithful follower
I will be.
For by his hand, he leadeth me.
Get that last verse. Verse.
My task on earth is done when by thy grace the victory's won. Even death's cold, I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth
me. That's the one we're facing, church.
He leadeth me. He leadeth me.
Reach out, get a hold of his hand. Reach out, get a hold of his hand. Somebody make it up in your mind right now. I'm going wherever he goes. Wherever it is.
I would be, for by his
hand. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it together one more time. He leadeth me. These altars are open if you'd like to come in right now. Find you a place. Let's spend some time seeking the Lord here this evening.